So if a person takes a dead mouse and they touch it to somebody else's truma, so they cause them a tremendous loss. However, you can't see. There's nothing recognizable for the hezek shel nikah. The person takes somebody's wine and poison to an idol, so they cause a tremendous loss, but it's not visible. So it's called the hezek shel nikah. So it's machlek is Rabbi Yehuda ben Chizkiya. Is that a chi of mazik min haTorah, or is that only a chi of mazik min derabbanan? The Gemara is trying now to bring a proof. The Gemara picks up from the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's pick it up from the case we just started. Seven lines to the bottom. The first one line is Ha'olam. Masiv Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar brought us the following proof. Ha'osem malacha v'mechatas v'paras chatas. If a person takes water that was designated for paraduma water, was mixed together with the ash of the paraduma, or he takes the paras chatas, takes the paraduma proper, and he does malacha with these things. Now doing malacha, either with the water or with the par itself, will disqualify the para. So the person was mazik the para. So says the b'raisa, potter b'dini adam, b'chaya b'dini shemayim. So technically speaking, he's exempt from paying in this world, but he's chaya b'dini shemayim. So that phrase, chaya b'dini shemayim, means that you better do it. And if you want to clear your name with the beis din shemala, you better go ahead and pay the money. Tachlis, in beis din shemala, this world, we're not going to force you to pay. So basically what we're saying is that you're not really a mazik. In the pure world of halacha, you're not really a mazik. We ask the Gemara, v'yamras hezek shel nikah shmei hezek. If you believe that hezek shel nikah is considered to be a mazik, so why do we say that you just have to pay, in theory, to clear your name in heaven, you should be have to pay me'ikra didim deyit shomata. So the Gemara explains now that what's going on here is, this is not even hezek shel nikah. This is actually one step lower in the regular case of hezek shel nikah. Why is that? So Rabbi Elazar asked the question, and Rabbi Elazar gave the answer, that there's something unique that's going on here. Parashech nisa l'rifka amenas shetinach v'tidosh. That what does that mean that I did work with a paraduma? So it doesn't mean that I outright went ahead and took it to my field and started plowing with it, you know, in a real clear way of work. Rather, I brought the calf into the Rivka. Rivka is a place where the animals collect. I found it fascinating that the two names of our imahos are both names of that are associated with animals. That Rivka in Lashon HaKodesh, Rashi quotes Gagli Marbek, means a place of like cattle, like a clay case of calves. And Rachel is a sheep. So a little baby girl, little sheep. So it's interesting that both the names of the imahos are associated. It's just an observation. I'll do that. So good, just something that caught my eye. So the Gemara explains that what the person was is false. He took this paraduma and he took this cow and he brings it into the Rivka, into the place where all the other animals are. Amenas Shetinok. And he's telling everybody, the reason why I'm doing this is I'm bringing it to nurse. I'm bringing it that it should provide milk. What's the beat? That's not a malacha per se. But Vitadush, but in the back of the guy's mind, he also wants that should start to stamp, start to work a little bit, start to thresh with the rest of the animals there. So what is unique about this case? And Rashi explains that the action proper is not an actual mazik. That you see a guy taking a cow and schlepping it into licking up with all the other animals, that per se is not a problem. That per se is not a maisa mazik. What makes it a hezek is your machshava. Because you're also having in mind to make it work, you know, it's not apparent that's what you're doing. That's what makes it a ma'aseh mazik. Says Rashi, whenever you're mazik something with machshava, that's what we call grumma. That's like a very, very indirect kind of a mazik. And that's one step less than a regular hezek shel nikah. So that's why the Braisa says you're not going to be chayav ikradin. What would be the parallel case for the mechatas, for the water of the paraduma? Sheshoko behem mishkalos. So you didn't literally use it for work. You didn't do an actual malacha with it. Rather, you used it to weigh with. You used it to serve as a way of weighing something else. Rashi at the top of the base is your whole story that you have a scale and you know how much this water, you have a cup, you have a pitcher of water, you know exactly how much it weighs. And now you're trying to balance it on the scale, connect it to a piece of meat. I'm running a butcher store, trying to figure out how much meat I'm selling. So you put it on the scale, the old style scales. So when it evens out, then you know exactly how much the meat works. So you were shok or bishkolos. So you were shok bishkolos, Rashi is arguing, that you didn't really do anything to the item proper. Hezek shel nikah means when I take the wine and pour the wine to the idol. Take the item and I mamish make it tummy. So that's called a maisa hezek, and I can discuss. Well, it's a maisa hezek, not recognizable. Whereas over here, I didn't even do a maisa. I didn't touch the water proper. That's not considered to be doing malacha with the water itself. So it says the Gemara, if that's the case, Rabba Rabba, mechatas the top of a bay, shishak mamishkos kshera. Wait a second, you're guilty, I guess, of underkill. If that's the case, that you didn't really do anything to the water, you simply used the water as a counterbalance, the piece of meat on the other side. So then why do you assume that's a problem in the first place? Why do you consider that it's a puzzle? The Braisa says that if you damage the mechatas in this manner, so you damaged it, it's puzzle, and now we can discuss, you had to pay, not have to pay, the Abdishmaim, etc. The implication of the Braisa is that the water became puzzle. If this is the case, that you didn't really do anything physical to the water itself, so why did it become puzzle in the first place? So the whole Braisa doesn't make any sense. The Braisa says, no, we got it wrong. Lokasha, have a gufan, have a kenegdan. The West says, no. If all you did was use the water to 10 feet away from the meat to balance out the meat, that's not considered to be a malach altogether. That would not disqualify the water. So both of the cases they're talking about, that you did it begufan. I mean, not both the cases, but we're talking about that you did it begufan. And the case that Rashi explains, the Rava b'kinegdan, the case that Rava said that it's kosher, that's the case that we mentioned, that you didn't actually do anything to the water itself. The case that the Bryce is talking about that's going to be puzzled, so that's when you did it begufan, when you literally use the water to measure. How do you use the water to measure? Rashi gives a little bit of Archimedes principles, that you know how much water is going to be displaced by something, and you use something else to displace that water, so you touch the water proper. So comes Gemara explains that if you do a malacha big goof ha water, that's going to parcel the water. If you do a malacha kenegat water, that's not going to parcel the water. So Gemara goes back to square one. The Gemara says begufa and ma'isika avivu. So you're getting yourself stuck in the back of the tightrope. That if the case of the brice that's disqualifying the water is that you actually touched the water properly, did malacha with the water gufayu. So then why isn't that called a ma'isa hezek? He hezek shen nikah shme hezek. So back to square one. So the Marashach, if you didn't touch the water, so it's kosher, so it doesn't get discussed paying any money. If you touch the water in the process of your malacha, so it disqualifies the water, so you should be chayef for paying for it. So the one says, no, you didn't really touch the water properly. If you touch the water, you're mazik and you have to pay. Everything was done from a distance. So I have the water over here, I get the meat over here, it's 10 feet away. Everything is not on the water properly. So when do we say the water becomes possible and when not? This is another halacha that if I have water set aside for paraduma and I'm not paying attention to it, the mishmeris may need the heat. I'm not cognizant of it, I'm not paying attention, just leave it sitting around without paying attention to it, so it becomes nifso behesech hadas. So comes the Gemara and says, that's the case, that I parceled the water through hesech hadas. So that kind of a mazik is to machshava. Is by not thinking, not paying attention, not scrutinizing the water all the time, that's going to parcel the water. So that kind of a mazik is a one lower level of mazik. That's a mazik ade machshava, and a mazik ade machshava is never really considered to be a true mazik. So when all the dust settles, there are two factors that are combining in sort of this complicated case of a mazik the water. First, you have to decide, is the water kosher, is the water puzzle? So the basic guidelines are, it depends. If you touch the water proper, then it's mamish puzzle. If you're just simply doing something external to the water, so it depends. If you're still paying attention to the kashas, the water remains kosher. If you're masir das to the water, then it becomes puzzle. When are you going to have to pay the puzzling the water of the paraduma? If you did an action, then you may have to pay. If you didn't do an action, then you're not going to have to pay. So we're still back to square one. We're still trying to figure out what's the din of hezek shen onika. What is the din if I damage you in a way that's not recognizable? So the Gemara switches now from the sugars of mazik to the sugars of gazlon, someone who actually steals something, and the Gemara attempts to compare the two. So the two dots, masir rapapa. The papa raised the question from a mishnah in the end of Maseches Bava Kamma. Gazol madbeya v'nifsol. What if I steal a coin from you, and then 6 months later, that coin becomes no longer usable. Government changes, the revolution, and now that coin that had emperor had Julius Caesar's on it, no longer a valid coin. Or let's say truma benitmes. I stole truma from you, and then the truma became tummy. So a dead mouse fell onto the truma, and now the truma becomes tummy. Well, chametz of love of Pesach, or I stole chametz of you from before Pesach. I saw a bottle of shafts of you ere Pesach, now it's sitting in my house, now it becomes chametz of love of Pesach. So in all of these cases, the gazlan wants to return the item, the object. Normally the rule is, heishiv is like zera shagazol, when you steal something, so just return what the object was. The problem is that the item that the gazlan is returning is basically worthless. So can we say with a straight face, heishiv is like zera shagazol, I stole a bottle of schnapps. I'm returning a bottle of schnapps. What can the nigza, the one who stole from, say? You stole $100 bottle of schnapps. Now you're giving me back something you have to pour down the drain. So that's not called the heishiv shagazol. Or in the case of the coin, I stole this, $1,000 coin from you, and now you're saying, now you're just returning me a piece of garbage, a piece of metal. It's not, giving me back Confederate currency. So that's not going to help me too much. So what's the din? Can the gazlan say, Hare shechol fanecha? Or can the nigzel turn around and say, no, you have to pay me back something that's actually worth something? So the Mishnah says in all these cases, Amar Hare shechol fanecha. So I have a right to say Hare shechol fanecha. What's the reason? Because the item didn't really fundamentally change. If I steal something from you, it's physically different, and it went down in value because there's a real physical change. So how can I say with a straight face, "Hare shechol fanecha"? But if it hasn't really changed, the same coin, just that the different emperor, same coin, or it's the same schnapps, just Pesach has come and gone, or it's the same truma, just was touched by a dead mouse. So in all these cases, the change was an eino nikar dika change. It was a non-recognizable change. So now the Gemara compares gezeila to mazik. It says as follows. The Iyamas hezek shen nikar shmei hezek. If you hold that hezek shen nikar is called hezek, namely, unrecognizable damage is still treated in halacha like a broken window. When I'm a tama yotaros, it's like I smashed a window. So then that should be true in gezeila as well. So if so, then hi gazlan who amar ma'ayvah shlumet. So then the gazlan who steals the schnapps, and now the schnapps is not recognizably different, but it is different. Now it's also, so we should view that as being destroyed schnapps. So to have to pay your money. So how can I pass off on you? Let's say, for example, if I would steal schnapps, and then something physical would change the schnapps, and it's not recognizable anymore schnapps. Now, I can't say shechol fanecha. So the fact that it's unrecognizable, why should that make a difference? So the Gemara says, you're right, tiyufta, taka right. That this Mishnah, the end of Baba Kama, disproves the opinion that says that Hezek Shechel Nikar is the same as Nikar. You see clearly from this Mishnah, if it was Gezela, that there is a big difference between the two. So normally, when the Gemara says Tiyufta, that's like the end of the game. The story's over. Many Rishonim point out that sometimes the Gemara will reject an opinion in Amoraim with the phrase Tiyufta, and sometimes the Gemara will use the word Kasha. Some of the Rishonim say that the word Kasha means that we have a really good question. Could be resolved. It could be, yeah, could be, no, we're not really sure what the answer is. So we'll kind of leave it hanging. Maybe someday we'll figure out the answer. Tiyufta means don't waste your time trying to figure out an answer. The game is over. The Shita is rejected, the Gamri. So first is going to say, oh, let me try to give an answer to that man, the Yomar. Yomar rejected it. I'm going to come up with a Shita Torah. So you should just know you're wasting your time. The Yomar Rome already said Tiyufta, it's over. The game's over. But every once in a while, the Gemara will say Tiyufta. Sometimes the Gemara will say, Tiyufta deploni Tiyufta. That means it's over, done, finished, let's move on. Here the Gemara just says Tiyufta, almost like it's a refutation, right? The Gemara says, well, not so fast. Let me get that on. The Gemara tries to bring back to life a little bit that Shita by saying, you know what? You're right. The Mishnah Baba Kama, in fact, refutes that view. Well, you know what? Maybe the game's not over yet. Maybe there's a machlekes hatanoi about this very point. So we're still keeping alive for, not for too long, but a little short time. Keeping alive this opinion that Hezek Shenanika may really be an actual Hezek. Let me get that on.
So when it says Tiyufta, there's no halacha? I mean, what's the halacha?
Tiyufta usually is going to mean that opinion is rejected. Here, the Gemara doesn't say with absolute certainty Tiyufta. Here, the Gemara says Tiyufta, then says, well, you know what, let's backpedal for a minute. Maybe it's a machlok is at the time. So the sheet is still alive. Again, not for long, but a little bit. So let me get that on. So let's suggest that this question that the Amorim, Chizki, Rabbi Yochanan are finding out is actually an age-old machlekes hatanoim. Habetame v'medameh v'menasech, echad shegei v'echad mezid chayav de Rabbi Meir. In all the cases of the Mishnah where I cause your item to become tamei, or if I mix truma with your chulin, or if I pour your wine love in the zara, in all these cases, whether I did it b'shegei, whether I did it b'mezid, I'm going to be chayav to pay. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is telling us that Hezek, these are all examples of Hezek Shena Bikar, and he's saying, Yechayev afilu Mishogi. Rabbi Yudah and Mishogi, part of the Mezid Chayev. Rabbi Yudah says, no, Mishogi, you're exempt. The Mezid, you're going to be Chayev. So what's the point of contention? What are you arguing about? So the Gemara suggests, Maila Bakam Miflagi. The Maher saw the Hezek Shena Bikar Shema Hezek. So the Rabbi Meir's view is that Hezek Shena Bikar is considered to be Hezek. It's considered to be like smashing a window. You have to pay for damage when you smash somebody's window, whether you meant to or whether you didn't mean to. Remember years ago, one of my kids was playing, tossed around a baseball outside by the front, and all of a sudden I hear a big crash. So it broke, went right through a car window. So, sorry, I didn't mean to do it. I said, I didn't mean to do it, but Masik is chayiv, and he said, but Abba, don't worry, it was your car. Okay, Baruch Hashem. And now it doesn't cost me anything. So the Mishnah says in Mavakama that a katan shehizik, that's not a good thing because the person got damaged, because technically speaking, the katan's potter, and you can't really take the fallout of the dintar here. I might take the dintar myself, so I gotta pay for the car. So comes the Gemara and says that Rabbi Meir says the Yechayim, Bein B'Shegi, Bein B'Mezid. So he seems to be going down the route of that Hezek She'en Onika, the Ha'akam Efeli, the Ma'ar Sav Hezek She'en Onika, Shmei Hezek. His opinion seems to be that it's called Hezek. Omar Sav Elo Shmei Hezek. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're not really Chayev all the time. You're only Chayev if you're Mezid. He seems to be assuming it's not a real Mazik. It's just that they're abon and the Gechiyav, and therefore the Chum only made the Takona. If he did it, b'meizit b'shegi, they gave you a break.
The difference between our Mishnah and this, because those are active cases of Hezek, these are things where the Hezek happened by itself. Right? I took it. Here's how many Tamei, how many Tamei.
No, but that Amish also.
But that's our Mishnah. But in our case of the new case, the right?
The previous case,
the Chumash.
Yeah. Right. So 100%. It's a little bit, fascinating. The Gemara is equating the Gazlan, who it kind of happened by itself, to the Mazik, who did it be a diet. The Gemara is assuming that distinction is an irrelevant distinction. So that's a big machlokes Tais in the Rambam, Skarahol, Shtil Torah, as to how do you understand this comparison? The Gemara makes a tremendous leap of faith between the two cases. Moving, even question. The key question, but yeah, there's a lot of the shashal about how to understand that leap of faith in the Gemara.
Why did the Chameis don't seem to be equal? Because by the Chameis, had you not stolen it, I would have destroyed it, or I would have sold it to a non-Jew, right? So it would have been valuable after that. But the coin, had you not stolen it, after a while, it would have been nifsal anyway.
Well, maybe if I wouldn't have stolen it, maybe you would have passed it off to somebody else. Somebody else would have taken the loss. I would have traded in for money before the Julius Caesar got assassinated. So maybe I would have been able to get it. So there is a certain degree of parallel. So the Gemara is trying to explain this machlokes is from Rami and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether Yechayah b'shogeg b'hezek shena nikra. Ultimately, this boils down to the machlokes Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Is it a chiyuv mazik min haTorah, a chiyuv mazik min haRabbanim? So comes the one says, no, not necessarily true. Amar Nachum Yitzchak, maybe we misunderstood what the point of contention between Rami and Rabbi Yehuda is all about. The kulei alma hezek shena nikra l'shmei hezek could be, says Rami Nachum Yitzchak, that everybody subscribes to the same basic opinion that Hezek Shena Nikra is not called Hezek. The Hacha Bekonsu Shogeg to Mezek Mufgi. The Machlokes is about something legamri different. Everyone agrees that we're dealing with the Knas with the Rabban here. Nobody really says that putting a dead mouse in your truma is a Chiv Mazik in a Torah. It's only mid Rabban as a Knas, a penalty to prevent you from doing it in the future. But the Machlokes is now, when Chazal make penalties, they make Knossos, do Knossos make sense only for Mezid, or do they even make sense for Shogeg? So one could argue that maybe the whole institution, the whole concept of a knas, so that makes sense. If I intentionally did something wrong, an amazing, maybe then you're going to get a knas. If it was only b'shogeg, we look the other way. Well, maybe no. Maybe we say that we can't start making distinctions. If we start to say, oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't really my fault, something happened, I forgot. And so then everyone's going to do things intentionally, and the whole system's going to break down. I remember when we... My oldest daughter was born, so maybe a couple of weeks old. I remember she one whole night she wasn't sleeping, and then she was sick, and and we lived in Washington Heights then, and like 9 o'clock in the morning, I finally laid down to sleep for an hour, and I forgot what who lived in the Heights. I forgot there was alternate side of the street parking that day, so I forgot to move my car. So I got myself a good nice ticket to get my car got towed. I was the lucky guy. Once every 6 months, they tow a car nights for alternate, and I was the lucky guy that day. So when you get a car towed, they throw out another $300 or something to get it back. So I got slapped with like a $400 something or other. So I remember at the time I wrote a very, very impassioned letter to the New York City Department of whatever, traffic violations, whatever it is, parking violations, saying that, you know, we're a young couple, we just had a baby. I just brought the baby back from the pediatrician that morning. I fell asleep with the baby. I totally forgot that. Never, ever violated parking violations ever. You know, I'll never do it again. Da, 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 da. Basically, I'm saying, B'shagig. So I remember I get this letter back 2 weeks later that says that a sick child is not an excuse for violating parking laws, but out of the goodness of our heart, we'll take $10 off of the ticket. So it was only $390 instead of $400. So New York City at its best. So that's the thing about here saying also that, hey, look at the safe. You start to say, you know, you don't have to pay a penalty for a show gig. So sorry, you know, don't penalize me because I didn't mean it. So one Tana says, hey, no, you can't have a system like that. So we have to be high, maybe show be amazing. The other Tana said, no, man, only be amazing, not be show gig. So maybe that's the issue. So the concert show the amazing could be the marriage of a concert show the amazing. The mayor said they made a knas even be show gig, because if you don't make a knas be show gig, you'll end up not be amazing either. But my sub a low concert show the amazing. The other Tana says, Rebuta says, they never extended the knas to show gig. So once the Gemara has now reevaluated what the Machlek is about, Machlek has nothing really to do with Mazik anymore. It's more of a general, you know, question about when we make Knossos, how far do we go? Do we extend the Knossos to Shogeg? So the Gemara says, wait a second, you have to be consistent. We have to now press our search engine and say, what does Rabbi Meir say about this topic in other areas? What does Rabbi Yudah say about this? It's not the first, not the only Knossos we have in Halacha. So what's the general take in Tanoim about Knossos in other areas? So comes the Gemara and says that once we begin to search, we're going to come up with the following realization. So Rami de Rabbi Meir de Rabbi Meir, Rami de Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yudah. Actually, Rabbi Meir in other places says the opposite of what he said here, and Rabbi Yudah says the opposite of what he said here. So we have contradictions. Rami means we have contradictions within both opinions of Tanoim. What other areas did the Tanoim talk about where they address this issue of Knossos? So the sign we learned in the Braisa, I'm a Vashal B'Shabbos. If a person cooks on Shabbos, he did a terrible event called Shabbos, the question is, can he eat the food? So he went and he cooked himself a bowl of soup on Shabbos. Now what's the din b'dieved? Is the food kosher? So according to the overwhelming majority of opinions, Minat Torah, the food is kosher. Minat Torah, you did an aveira, tosav isa b'shati, but l'maisa, the food is kosher. There's one opinion in the Gemara that says maybe it's also Minat Torah, but we don't really pass it that way. So within the view that it's only also mid the Rabbanon, why did they make this issur as a knas, as a penalty? Because if you're going to let a guy cook on Shabbos, so he's going to say, well, great, I just cooked on Shabbos, let me eat it. So next thing you know, so he's going to do it next time around as well. So as a deterrent to prevent you from doing it, so Chazal declared that the food is basically off limits. So within this knas de Rabbanon of the food being off limits, there was a machlekes atanoim, what are the parameters of this knas? Just how much do we make this knas? So with the b'Shabbos, b'shegeg, yoyecha b'meizel, yoyecha b'meizel. So Ramey is the biggest makel in this. He says that as long as he did it, the guy forgot. He woke up the morning, Shabbos morning, totally forgot that it was Shabbos, and he cooks himself something on Shabbos. Ramey says, when you realize an hour later, gaval, it was Shabbos, no problem. It's b'shege, you can go ahead and eat the food. If you cook, b'meiz it, so then we're going to tell you not to eat the food. Now, whether you're going to listen to me or not, it's a different story, but l'mayis ha'mid the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to eat the food. So divrei Ramey, they see the Rabbi Meir only made kenosos, b'meiz it, not b'shege. That doesn't bode well for our Mazik case, because in the case of the Mazik, Rabbi Meir was the Tana, was more Machmer. Rabbi Meir was the one who said that if you metaved the Menaseh, Eret Shegech and Mezid Chayev the Rabbi Meir. So now we have a stira within Rabbi Meir. Once we identified that the rationale for Rabbi Meir's view about Mazik was he subscribed to the view of Kuntzu Shegech to Mezid, that doesn't sit well with what Rabbi Meir says here, vis-a-vis Mishal B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda is also not going to sit too well. Rabbi Yehuda, B'Shegech Yechom Atzai Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you did a b'shegeg, so we're going to make a knas on you, at least till Shabbos is over. We're not going to be so machmer on you. You can't eat that food on Shabbos proper. If you did a b'meizid, then you can't eat it forever and ever and ever. So you see that fundamentally, Rabbi Yehuda also makes a little bit of a knas with b'shegeg. Maybe not to the same degree as meizid, but he doesn't ignore shegeg entirely. Wait a second, if he doesn't ignore shegeg entirely, why does he ignore shegeg by mazik? Rabbi Yehuda says, if you metabed the memenasech b'shegeg, but you don't have to pay anything. There's no kenosos whatsoever. So now we're having nuances of kenosos. At some kenosos, Rabbi Meir seems to be the big machmer b'shegeg, and others not, and vice versa. Rabbi Yehuda also seems to contradict himself. So before the Gemara gets to answering the Rabbi Meir question, The Brisa just quotes the third view. Rabbi Yechad Sandler Omer, B'shogeg Yechad Motzei Shabbos Lachem V'lo Lo. Rabbi Yechad Sandler says that if it's B'shogeg, so then we make you wait until Motzei Shabbos, but not you. It means other people can eat it Motzei Shabbos. You, forget it. You can't eat it. B'meizid L'yechad Omer Slo Lo L'Acherim. If it was done B'meizid, then it's off limits forever and ever and ever for you, for others, etc. L'gamrei, it's going to be also. It was this extreme view of Rabbi Yechad Sandler that the Gemara Baba Kama quotes one Amir that said, Rabbi Yechad Sandler must have held that Maisa Shabbos is also bin HaTorah. Anytime Chol Shabbos am B'meizid, it's also bin Deraisa. What would the source of that be? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, U'shmarat Maisa Shabbos ki kodesh ilochem, my Shabbos kodesh, af Maisa Shabbos kodesh. According to Rabbi Yechad Sandler, we're not really talking Knossos anymore. We're talking Deraisas here. But again, we don't follow Rabbi Yochanan. Sadly, we pass like the other Tanoim that the worst that there is here is the Derabon, and the most that there is here is the Kenas. And we're trying to figure out when was the Kenas made, when wasn't it made. So the Gemara says, Kasher Reder Meir, Kasher Reder Rabbi Yehuda. So we have a double contradiction here. Rabbi Meir in one case is the big Mach or B'shogeg, and in other cases is not. And Rabbi Yehuda is vice versa. The Gemara says, no. The Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Meir look Kasher. There's not really a stira between Rabbi Meir. Why is Rabbi Meir so machmir by Mazik and he's so makel by Shabbos? So it's a little bit counterintuitive. Ki konis b'dirabonon, b'diraisa lo konis. That Rabbi Meir's view was, if a person does an issa diraisa, we don't have to come down so hard on him. Why? Because an issa diraisa, people can be more careful about. It's true, the guy fell in, he made a mistake, it's mishagig. No one's going to go outright and do an issa diraisa. Mamash b'meizu gomu, we assume that we're dealing with basically Shabbat Torah mitzvahs make mistakes. So Rabbi Meir says, by deraisas, we don't have to be so machmir, and therefore, if a guy cooked on Shabbos b'shogeg, we'll look the other way. But isum derabbanon, so we have to be more machmir. Why? Because psychologically, people take isum derabbanon lightly. We have that answer. Well, it's rabbi. It's only derabbanon. So that mind, it's only derabbanon. So therefore, a guy's going to say, well, what I'm doing is not so terrible anyway. I'm a little shogeg, right? So people will be a little more mezalzel. So therefore, they had to actually up the ante. They had to be more machmir by Yisurim D'Rabban. That's what the Gemara explains, that cooking on Shabbos is an issur d'oraisa. Taking a dead mouse and throwing it into the other guy's truma is really only a d'rabbanan, because Minatorah, I didn't do anything. Minatorah, that's not really called a ma'aseh mazik. So, but since we're dealing with an issur, quote-unquote, an issur d'rabbanan, then and only that Rabbi Meir was more machmir in terms of kenosis. So yes, the Gemara, b'hamen nasech d'oraisa, kokonis. One of the cases of Hezek Sheronika was pouring wine to a Vedazar. Last we checked, pouring wine to a Vedazar is Nisr Isa. That's an Ovid Vedazar. You have skill for that. And Rabbi Meir still makes the Kenas. So you see that our psychological shot is not correct. The Gemara says, don't ask it.
Yeah. Rabbi, why isn't it Lifnei Ibn Lo Niten Michshal, which is the Raisa? It's okay if we understand that there's no Hezek, but there's another Isa that's the Raisa.
No, he's going to tell the guy. Because he's going to tell the guy very, very clearly, guess what I just did? I just poured one of his art. He wants the other guy to feel that he lost his wine. If he never tells him, then he didn't cause any damage to the person. So we're assuming that he's going to inform him no matter what. So comes the Gemara and says, so Manasseh, which is also Issa Deraisa, should be strange, should be flipped, and there shouldn't be such a kenas. So says the Gemara, Shuchum Deveres Kichom Konishlev. But don't ask Kashan, but Zara's all the rules change. We also other areas of halacha that we have certain chumras in Hilchos of Zara that we're not even going to go into question. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha, and similarly Rabbi Yehuda is no there's no stira because Rabbi Yehuda had the other way of looking at things. Kilo konis b'dirabar, but the Raisa konis. Rabbi Yehuda thought that he assumed Rabbanu we could take a little bit less serious. So a shogeg by Rabbanu will look the other way. A deraisa, we're going to have to be more machmir. So Kukyon Shabbos is a deraisa. Aha menasech deraisa v'lo konis. So aye, but menasech is an issa deraisa. Rabbi Yehuda did not make a kenas. Mishum chumi deves kechav and mev do b'dil minei. It's the opposite of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, but it's not, what Jew is going to be over there? You're crazy. To do the chil Shabbos, guys are going to cook a super Shabbos. Maybe. What Jew is going to come and pour wine to an idol? If a rocket isn't going to happen. And therefore, we don't have to be so machmir on that. So you have interesting, Rabbi Meir reviewed on both. It's like a halachic / psychological analysis. We're trying to figure out, should we make a kenas? To make a kenas, does it make sense? Not make sense? Is it necessary? Not necessary. So you have to weigh in the chumas is certain, and you have to weigh in psychologically whether it's a good idea, not necessary to make such a kenas. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay, well, guys, have a good day.
Have a good day, Rabbi. Thank you.
The guy who cooks on Shabbos can basically.